Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I am more emotionally intelligent and articulate than most men. So they don't know what's hitting them. I'm going to win this.
Yeah. Welcome to Women Are Mad, where we invite women to bring their anger into everyday conversation. I'm Selima Saxton. I'm an actress and writer.
I'm Jennifer Cox, and I'm a psychotherapist. We noticed that anger is the one emotion that women aren't allowed to openly express. Meanwhile, everything around us is making us absolutely furious.
We're all feeling it. Let's get together to work out what to do with it.
Selima?
Yes?
Can I talk about what's making me mad today?
Yeah, I mean, from the pauses in your voice, I can hear that you've got something up your sleeve.
Something big. So, yeah, you know, sometimes I just find it all too much, as in what women are going through in the world. And I've really, this week, I've had a bad one for that.
Why?
Well, I've actually written down a little kind of, I had to sort of try and make some sense of why I was feeling so kind of pained. You can hear it in my voice probably. So I've written it down, so it might sound a bit stilted and weird, but I just thought it at least clarifies it. So I think based on what I've been hearing this week in terms of like clinically, but also women around me, this is what I've written. We could be mistaken for thinking our existence is made sense of by other people's needs. We are the unpaid therapists, doctors, cooks, personal shoppers. But at a darker level, we're also containers for others' violent impulses and sexual issues. And I saw on the news today that women were wearing white ribbons. Oh God, I'm nearly crying. As they ran around the park in Leeds today, and that was to protest against violence against women and girls. And it just struck me, God, this is the best we can do. That's all we've got, to remind people that we aren't there just to be used to gratify their needs. And that's where I am at today.
I think in 2023, I can really understand why you come close to tears at this, because when I was 13 and reading Are You There, God, Me, Margaret, or The Forbidden Forever, or, you know, my Judy Blooms, and all the books that told me stories of what girls could actually potentially do and become, I thought I was part of something that was historical. When I read my Sylvia Plath, the bell jar and everything, it was all history of how women had been perceived or had been subjugated, even creatively or whatever, and that I was part of a sea of change. And what I'm hearing from you is that it's still on the horizon.
Yeah,
we're not there. And that's really shocking.
It's so shocking. And there's something also about thinking that we must have reached this point where surely it's happened.
Yeah.
And we kid ourselves we're there, and we look as if we're there because we've got all the jobs and, you know, that type of thing, financial independence for some of us, all of that. But actually, we're doing that as well. And it doesn't mean we're not still being totally exploited and used and taken advantage of in all of these other ways. It seems to make it worse.
So what's to be done?
Oh, God. I
know what is to be done is to keep talking about this. Keep shining the light.
Yeah, we're trying to do it, basically. Yeah. This is what we're trying to do. We're bringing all these amazing women on to do it with us.
Exactly.
one of whom I shall introduce now. So you'll recognise our guest today from her appearances on Would I Lie to You and Richard Osman's Home of Games, among others. She's a comedian, she's a writer, and she's a tonic for our flayed souls. Please welcome Sarah Barron.
Hi. Yeah.
Oh, look at her. This is the reception that I want.
This is the face you wanted.
I'm trying to like balance nice lighting with you having to see like a disgusting pile of laundry.
It looks quite lovely. I'd like to jump into that.
Thank you. It's very clean and like warm and nice. And it's where I have to go if my husband is snoring.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
We've all got these.
Look, I go here in this corner here. This is my little
snore chamber.
Where I go.
That's the snore chamber.
Yep.
Very good.
Yeah.
So you're the one who relocates, because I relocate if he's snoring.
I relocate.
Same. And what makes you angry, Sarah Barron?
Okay, what makes me angry? So I thought about this and I think like I'm 44 and where I'm at as a middle-aged woman is I get very angry with double standards. Like that when I find myself really angry at a friend or a circumstance or my husband or whatever it is, it will be because I feel like they've done a thing that they couldn't manage if it was done to them, you know. That stuff really, like, so unfair, like unfairness, but we all hate unfairness, but I think it's like double standards from people.
Can you give examples?
Gosh, I'm trying to, yes, I'm going to give you an example without throwing anyone under the bus or being too recognized.
Yeah, that's hard. That's hard. Let's divide it into personal, microcosm, tiny stuff, and like then professional. I mean, I imagine working as a stand-up, I imagine that there are often situations without being specific where you have to navigate an awful lot.
Do you know what? I'm just thinking as I say that. I think the double standard thing is less of an issue professionally. What I get annoyed with professionally, I think this might reflect badly on you, but I get really angry if I feel I'm being taken advantage of.
Ooh. Do you get openly angry about that then?
No, I don't. I don't know if you guys have experienced this. I have a really hard time being directly aggressive with women. And by directly aggressive, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, actually, it would be really healthy to be like, hey, can I just flag this? I really can't do that with women, but like whether it's my husband or some booker for a club, I would never yell, but I'd be like, I don't want to be difficult, but you said that we would run to time on tonight's gig and I've got a, you know, I get, or if I feel someone's asking me for something and they're not, I did some charity work recently. And
what does that even mean, Sarah? That could mean
comedians often, you know, and like if you're really famous, then I think you have to do it all the time for huge things. But like, even if you're not, it'll be a charity is asking for your time to participate in this way, but they're not going to pay you a fee because everything's going
charity, to charity. Yeah.
Right. Nice.
And you know, you're like, okay. And the thing is, it's like, it's just, it's part of the job. Well, so I said yes, because, and the reason I said yes, this is going to paint me in a terrible light, but I think it's also a very real light.
Right.
I said yes is the reason a lot of people say yes to this stuff, which is, I was like, we need to appear to be succeeding. So
yes.
I'll get my things for the socials. It's like,
okay.
And I care about the charity.
Yes.
The most importantly of all.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, we all care about the, you know, and the long, and I worked really hard because I just wanted to do well for myself and whatever. And basically, like, they forgot to send me all like the social media assets. So, like, I wake up the next morning and all the other people are doing their posts. Yeah. So amazing to appear on such and such. And I'm like, they didn't send me the shit. Like, come on, guys. I'm working for free. I worked real hard. And it's so dumb. It's a nothing. They have all these other things to do, but then there was no apology. There was like, I'm so sorry. She slipped through the cracks. It was like, I did a little favor and this made me feel unrecognized in my generosity.
Yeah.
But
I think it's feeling unseen, isn't it? It's like putting an effort in and then like, hello.
And also, do you think it's that it feels very wrong to make a fuss in certain situations? So in the face of this wonderful, noble charity, how can you go and make a scene about your socials?
I mean, yes, that's a very fair way to perceive it. But I feel like it's such a known thing in my industry that like everyone has to do charity shit. It's like that thing. It's so horrible. But it's sort of like if part of your job was very consistently being asked to work for free, you would of course do it. But then you're also like going to turn stuff down. Because you can't just like show up. You've got to like put some effort into it. So I just felt like they weren't working for free. The employees on the show, they weren't doing shit for free.
Right.
And the thing that bothered me, it didn't bother me that it happened, is that I was just sort of like, hey, I just wanted to flag. And then I got no apology. It was just like so the show aired on a Friday and they sent me all the social media assets through on a Sunday. And I was like,
come on.
I don't know. As I hear myself say this, I'm finding it like humiliating, but kind of healing.
Yes, I bet. Healing.
We're with you.
But it is, you can't be with, this is so stupid. It's so stupid.
But there must be other equivalents like this.
I think we all have equivalents. We have less glamorous equivalents. We all have, it's the same thing. Be it at the school gates, be it, I don't know, the local bank, whatever. It's the same. It is being good, behaving well, being a good person. Mm-hmm.
And it's give me my credit. I want my credit.
Yeah. I'm interested. You were saying that you find it quite hard to be angry with women or to express your anger with women.
Yes, very interesting.
Which surprises me because you seem so full of clarity. When I met you, that's what I enjoyed about you, that you're clear and that you communicate. So
I do. I pride myself on the clarity. And if someone said, what do you practice on? I'd be like, the clarity of my communication. I mean, I'm so in this way. I was having a really shitty day a couple days ago. And I was like, oh, I'm going to cry. Like, I'm going to fucking cry today. And I was trying, like my husband and I, like I was already upset. He and I had a thing. I was just like walking and there's a mom who I'm like sort of close with and a fellow mom, but we're not like, we don't hang out one-on-one, but I know her schedule because that's how it works with people in your neighborhood. I know she'd be at the gym. And I was like, hey, random, but are you at the gym? She's like, I am. Why do you ask? And I was like, I think I'm about to start crying and I need a person to unload it on. And she was like, so happy to do that for you. And then, she was wonderful with me and we talked and she's like, you Americans, you are so good. I was like, I think I seem like a crazy person who's imposing on a semi, like a friend, but you know, and she's like, I swear to God, even if she's being nice to me, she was like, all I thought was, this is the healthiest expression of emotion. She was like, you identified what you needed. You asked for help, whatever.
Still clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but come on. So you have that clarity, yet getting angry with me, for example, might be difficult for you. Why? Or was she telling you?
I'm trying to think about, getting into it with like very, very close women friends.
Mm.
And what is the...
It seems so contradictory to who I perceive you to be.
Yeah, I've been working on it really hard. But I get afraid of women in a way I'm not, you know, to your point, I think I get afraid of other women. And I'm very, I don't get triggered by almost any male behavior.
Do you think it's the straightforward way that men tend to have of communicating and expecting communications back? Because I do think this is something that we totally shoot ourselves in the foot with as women, is that it's all underhand, it's backstabbing, round the sides. We don't talk to the face, we talk you know, behind, and it's so damaging. And actually, it's a way of the patriarchy kind of getting us to sort of scrap among each other and kill each other off without them having to do anything.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's, and again, we're just like so gendered and very self-delighted. I am more emotionally intelligent and articulate than most men. So they don't know what's hitting them. I'm going to win this.
Yes. Whereas
I feel a little bit more afraid of some of my friends being able to give me a different kind of run for my money, or being less of, like, my husband is very smart in that way, but he is more afraid of me, I think, in some way. Like, and I'm afraid of him too, but you know, it's more, I feel so aware of his fear of my anger or my upset, the way that I'd be like, I don't want to say this, it'll make him angry. Whereas with friends, you don't have that same kind of power. Or
yeah.
I don't know. I also think like my dad is very meek and my mother is a fucking bulldozer. Figure into some of this as well.
Yes.
So going back to this point though, about when you last maybe got angry with someone, can you give us an example of what that looked like, of what happened, of how you responded, and of how they responded to your anger?
So if I get angry at my husband, it's very, and we snipe, you know, we are very out emotional fit. Like, I'm always around other people for work or traveling or a car share or whatever. And people will, if I'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, my husband and I are having a tiff or whatever. Like, a thing that I hear back that's nice is like, you guys are very direct with each other. Like, I've heard other friends be like, you two say shit to each other in a casual conversation that other people would get divorced. And it's
like, what? Give me an example.
So I'd be like, what's a good example? Like, he was adopted. And so I would, in a very casual way, be like, yeah, but this is the whole thing he does, which is about like his attachment stuff, like, because he cannot be alone, but it's because he like never fit in with his family and felt excluded. And so now I'm fucking paying the price. Anyway, are you getting like something sort of like,
does he talk about his own adoption in an open way?
Yes. Okay. So that, what that wouldn't be is a violation of his.
Just checking.
But so the point is like, it's all out there, but I think sometimes, sorry, because I can be so, how I can be, that I would have
said. And what is that? How would you describe that? What is the how you can be?
My husband says I have almost like, I'm just thinking that I'm presenting this into like heroic of a way, and it's not, you know, I don't mean to, there's like all these dark things about it, but I'm almost allergic. So I'm like a such a fucking liar. Like, I'd lie about anything. Shit, I'll fucking lie. But at the same time, like in a real way, I really struggle to not be honest about something, because a conversation is so like physically unsatisfying to me.
So I want to know, have you always been like this? Yeah. Have you been like this from year dot?
No, I don't think so, because I can remember like a really humiliating thing, like when I was like a teenager, you know, and I was a very late bloomer and whatever. And like one of my earlier sexual experiences was like, I asked a boy to kiss me, and he was like, oh, and he was so, you know, he was like, oh, Sarah, like, I think you're so amazing and I love spending time with you, but I don't think we're quite like that. Like, and it remains to this day possibly the most humiliated I have.
I feel it.
Even though I was 17, I think it was a formative experience. I'm like, well, because I'm disgusting. Like, I really feel the sense of myself as a fucking disgusting person. Oh. And I think that was like, not irrelevant. And I don't know why I'm telling you that. Oh,
well, I asked you about formative years. Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have, I was so humiliated. I think I was like closer to 27 when I was like in some therapy session and was like, I need to say the, like, what feels like one of the worst things that's ever happened to me. Mm. And I'd had friends who'd been through much worse, like sort of more real trauma and abusive relationships and stuff like that. And I was, you know, I had friends who'd gone through that stuff by the time I was 27, but something about my thing felt, I wouldn't have traded with her, but I was like, you just a horrible thing happened to you. You're amazing and something horrific happened to you. But I'm a disgusting, unlovable pig.
And that seemed to confirm it. It landed it in exactly the right way, exactly the right time.
That must have had some kind of sense that was sweeping around by 17. That then, you know, that there were a couple other things, and you get such a message. I don't know if either of you have daughters, but I don't. But I think all the time about the message that young women get that men will fuck anything. Because that's what it's like, they'll fuck anything. You don't have to, they'll fuck you. All men will fuck you. They just want to fuck you. They'll do anything. And I had a couple of sort of like semi, that was the blatant and then sort of more amorphous rejections. And I was like, they'll fuck anything. Like they'd fuck a dog, but not me.
Oh God, you're right. This is really damaging, isn't it? A way that nobody would talk about.
No, and like, I think so I didn't, I mention all this to say I didn't, that wasn't stuff that I was, now I'm like anything, but like there was some point where I just got much more forthright. But I don't know, I don't think I was ever like, not, I've always been like talkative and big, but this thing of like, I have to share everything constantly.
So how has this shaped your stand-up? And if anyone hasn't seen your stand-up, they must go and see you immediately, because one thing that I really enjoy about you on stage, I feel like you won't let me say this. I feel like you're, are you good at,
I'm poised for a compliment.
Receive it. Okay,
look at you. You're not poised. You're braced.
I'm ready.
Yeah, brace yourself. No, what I observe about you is that you get to that absolute painful nub of whatever it is, that our darkest, deepest place, and you say it, and we laugh partly in recognition and partly in painful acknowledgement. Like you're a very astute observer of humans.
Oh, that's so nice. I like that idea. You know, that's what I would, I always feel about, like, I like to think that a strength, we've all got our comedy strengths and weaknesses. And I never feel like I'm the best writer. You know, I always feel like I need help being like, why isn't this quite this? Why isn't this, you know, and I'll call up a friend and they'll help. But I like to think I know, I think I'm good at being like, oh, that's this thing that people do. I've not heard someone say that this is what we're doing when we say this about our friends or say it about our spouse or whatever.
So the kind of connections, you're making the connections for people in a way.
Yeah, like my husband and I'll joke, like, all I ever want to do is gossip. That's all I want. Like, he's like, what did you think about this politics thing, or what did you think about this album? And I'd be like, I don't know, but can we talk about that mom at the school gate? Because she conducts herself. Like, I just want to talk about people all the time.
And but why? It's storytelling, isn't it? It's magical. Yeah. It's
and I think this is the honesty thing as well, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's like we can get absolutely addicted to what's really going on. And it is so compelling.
It's endlessly fascinating.
That's why, Selima, that's why I liked your story so much, is I was just like, that every, you know, so many people are going to just love someone. Like, it felt like fucking, not therapy, but like a bomb. Just listening to someone be like, this is what we're fucking all dealing with. Like, and it's so, it's, you know, it's a service. That's how I, you know, because that's how I feel. And I think sometimes that I, because I like talking about myself a lot, you know, I sometimes think that I wonder sometimes if I get into dynamics where, like, what I love to do is like talk about myself and talk about myself and talk about myself, which is narcissism, but also it's a little bit generous.
It's generous.
You know, yeah, exactly.
You share yourself.
I'm sharing myself. But then sometimes, you know, with my friends, I'll be like, it's your fucking shit. Give me some. Whatever that weird fucking thing you said was going on with you and your husband. Where's that gone? We're acting like that's not going on no more.
But isn't it? But I think that's fair because it's really brutal when you're sharing. And we talk about this, don't we, Selima? That
we really do.
When you're with people who don't do it back.
Ooh. Yeah, and I think, so Jen and I have known each other since we were 18. And, you know, look, what perseveres in our friendship is one, that kind of radical honesty, but also, yeah, I give, she gives. So I hear the mess, she hears the mess.
Yeah.
So
wait, really radical honesty, like you will tell each other when you're angry with each other?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, she is a psychotherapist.
Yeah.
But
no one gets away with it.
My mom's a psychotherapist and she's got, you know, it's like my overbearing mom, you know, like possibly, you know.
Oh, I mean, among the most messed up people on the planet, we have to know our therapist.
But yeah. I mean, it's the thing that makes me, like, even when you both just were like your two little faces stacked, when you're both like, yeah, I was like, I'm really jealous of that because I don't think I have anyone I'm like incredibly close to platonically where I'm like, hey, that felt a little weird the other day when you, or who do it, you know, like don't do it enough to me either. And that is so admirable.
But it's very, very rare. And also I'm in my mid 40s now, along the way, I've mucked up loads of potential friendships or whatever by either saying too much, saying too little, mimicking, pretending to be somebody that I wasn't,
ghosting, disappearing. I think, but this is it feels like my life's mission to get women to be able to do this with each other.
Why am I so fucking scared? What is the problem?
I know. I would love, obviously, I would love to get into this, but we don't have time because, but we will, at some point we will, the conversation will continue. Can we ask you, when has anger driven you to do something incredible? And by that, we mean good or bad.
That's so interesting. I've never thought of anger. Well, I think like, is it anger or is it entitlement? I think I have a lot of anger and it's like forever a mystery to me if it's a normal level or if it's not, I don't know, but I think of myself as really, and I'm, you know, embarrassed by it, but like, I think of myself as quite angry. So I'm trying to work on that by which, you know, because it's like just toxicity in your own body, blah, blah, blah. But I think like, when I mean, this is just like, I'm like trying to make people hate me, but you know, this is a very American stereotype. God bless the NHS. It's part of the reason I live here. It's the most amazing thing. Also, there have been a couple of occasions where like the care has been poor for important things, and I will fucking go. I did a whole stand up bit about that, like where, you know, it's like I will go in and be like, I'm so sorry you're overworked. Let me list a few things through here for you. Here's what's happening. Here's part of how my husband's body is now disfigured because your care has been so, he like broke his hand earlier this summer and it has been, he has like a gimp hand now. Because, I have a friend who is like a comedian and he's like a Cambridge Footlights brainy autist genius guy, and he has the reason for everything. He's like, oh yes, well that is because there's like a reason that there aren't, that all the best hand surgeons are like in Singapore. There's like a whole, it's a whole like real actual thing. So I have called up on the phone, and I mean, I will, and if the stars align for me and I'm in check, I am so comfortable. Like, people don't want to drain the NHS. Mm-hmm. I did not grow up with that mentality. So I'm like, this is my shit for free. Here we go. And I mean, I will, it's all for me. I don't think about anyone else who's in a queue. Like, we got on a train recently, like a, you know, multiple trains have been canceled and it was insane. And it was like end of days. And these boys shoved in front of me and I went crazy at these boys.
Wow. How old were the boys, roughly?
They were 21. And they were holding seats.
Oh,
and
rude.
Like, you can't. But here was the point my husband made that he was right about. And I was like, you can't. He was like, I'm holding these. I was like, you can't hold these seats. I'm sitting here in my, I was like, you don't have to move. But this is me and my husband and my son, and we're going to sit at the other three seats. Like, no, I'm holding them. I was like, you're not. My son, this is a child. And he's like, she's pregnant. I was like, Of course, she's pregnant. She's sat right there. You can go, but you're not allowed to hold. The point my husband made was that right behind them, there was a completely empty table of four.
Oh, yeah, but why? Okay, so they could have gone and sat there.
No, you're being too Jennifer. She was a dick, but the fact that he was a dick, coupled with the freneticness of the train, and that he knew there were like so many people on this train, just the audacity of saying, "I'm holding a seat."
Yeah, it was all very.
I was blinded, and I really didn't see that two steps away, I could have just gone to the next.
I still am seeing you as a knight in shining armor on your white horse. You're still like
I'm using anger as a means.
Selima, I'm a warrior for justice all time. Mm. But I'm just acknowledging that there is a loss of control.
Okay, this is a good time to bring you. We're going to bring you with that loss of control into our virtual rage room. Okay, we're handing you a baseball bat. This is quick fire.
we always say that, and it never works out that way.
But let's try and do it this
you
time.
You try. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is what objects to whack your bat at. That sounds actually like rude.
Oh, I didn't hear it that way.
Okay. I didn't hear it that way.
Current news item making you seethe.
Anything to do with like Suella Braverman, like just anytime her name comes up.
Okay.
Whack. Aspect of modern life making you fume.
An aspect of it? Mm. Anything to do when a canceled train leading to an overbooked train and then not being allowed into first class.
Boom. Nice.
Cancel the fucking trains. I don't give a shit. Yeah. But then don't keep me out of business class, bitches.
This is good. Behavior of others which gets on your wick.
Double standard. I'm going to treat you this way, but if you treat me that way, I'm going to lose my shit.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Angriest moment on public transport. Oh. I'm guessing it was too many to mention.
the most dramatic recently was tin sardines, this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And a woman, a tourist, I was able to tell, had her shopping bags on a seat.
Oh.
She stood up, but the bags were on the seat. And I was like, do you want that seat? And she was like, no, it's for my bags. And I was like, it's not a seat for bags. So you sit down. Or I'm sitting down and you're going to hold your bags.
A special bag seat.
It's like, go. Then I'm going to say, you do it. I don't care. But it's not for bags.
I would like you to be by my side most of my life. Just feel my life would be, because you'd be like, boom.
All
boom,
we have
boom,
to get boom. You to be able to do is say it to friends.
I know.
Yes. Can you work on this?
That's the missing link.
Jennifer, this is what I'll have to, it's where it's missing. And even if I said, like, all these things are crazy things I've said to women, I can, it's just.
I'm going to do a reel on it. I'm going to do a guidance reel.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, give me a guidance reel.
Yeah. Maybe Selima, you and I can act one out. Okay, good. You've inspired us. We will come back to this at a later point, definitely. It needs resolving.
We think
you are amazing.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
So what an interesting conversation.
Something that you could probably shed more light on than me is the way that she, for such a strident, clear thinker, she's much more able to get angry at a male audience, get angry at the woman in the street, but not get angry in a constructive and clear way with women who are close to her.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, there's definitely something about the way that we're conditioned to socialize as women. Mm-hmm. You know, this emphasis is on obviously language and intimacy and deep sharing. But mm-hmm. I think that takes us to places that are more dangerous emotionally. And I think it's, you know, it's the woman or pair of women or group of women who can walk that through and dissect it and sort of come out the other side, having gone somewhere constructive. Lots to think about. Thank you for listening and sharing in our anger.
And remember, you're not mad to feel mad.
Please like and subscribe. It helps other people find the podcast.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.